All right. Good morning, everyone. Morning, guys. I think a lot of you know me already, but I'll just introduce myself. But my name's Jane, and this morning I'm going to be sharing my testimony of what the Lord has done in my life. So I'm really excited to share that with you guys, and I hope it can be encouraging and uplifting for you all. But I just want to start with a word of prayer to open us up. So, all right, if you join me. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you that you are a wonderful provider who loves each of us deeply, God. I thank you for what you've done in my life and in the lives of many others. Lord, I pray that you would be glorified in this time, Lord, and that the Holy Spirit would really just speak through me in this moment and in the moments in the future, Lord. And I thank you for all who are gathered here. We pray that this would just be a time that is very edifying to you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So when I was thinking about how to do my testimony, I feel like many of us, there's so many things we could say or so many ways that we could talk about it. But one of the things that really stood out to me was, you know, how the Lord has seen me in times, especially when I felt unseen or when I felt lost or like no one was there for me. So I thought it was a fitting title, to talk about the name of God. I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, but Elroy, the God who sees. So that's kind of the theme of my testimony. And then I'll kind of flesh that out a little more. But I wanted to start by just reading this passage here. Let me see if
I can. I might come over here and read. I'm just going to try to talk loudly. Genesis 16, 7 through 14. The angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, the spring on the way to Shur, and he said, "Hagar, servant of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from my mistress Sarai." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit to her." The angel of the Lord also said to her, "I will surely multiply your offspring so that they cannot be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are pregnant and shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has listened to your affliction. He shall be a wild donkey of a man, his hand against everyone, and everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all his kinsmen." So she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God of seeing." For she said, "Truly here I have seen him who looks after me." Therefore, the well was called Beer Elroy, where it lies between Kadesh and Bered. I hope that was loud enough. I didn't.
All right. So I was going to just kind of start by talking about different stages of my life. So for those of you who may be familiar, I've had a long history of like studying psychology and development. So I thought it only fitting to kind of talk about Erickson's stages. So I kind of took that as inspiration, but just modified it in my own way. I will be just as a quick disclaimer, I will be talking about some struggles with like mental health and self-harm and things. So if at any point you feel like you need to step out or just take a moment for yourself, please do that. I know these things can be really hard to talk about and we all have our own stories. So if at any point you feel like you need to step out or do what you need to do, take care of yourself first. Okay. All right. So I'm going to first talk about my parents because I know that's kind of where it started. But on the far left there, that's my maternal grandparents. And my mom is the little girl standing in the back. And funny enough, even though my parents are both from Korea, they actually met here in the States. A pastor introduced them. And they were married in 1987. My mom originally was raised nominally Catholic, but she was actually witnessed to by her roommate at Ohio State, who was from Campus Crusade. And so that's how she became a believer. And my dad was raised, I believe, like nominally Buddhist, from my impression. And I believe his exposure to the faith was through through his sister and my mom. They came here, got married that year, and they had four girls. I'm the third of four. And that's me with my grandfather on the far right. I was probably about 2 years old, and I think I'm maybe about four or five in the one in the center. I mostly just included that to give you a little insight into, you know, I was strange as a child and I'm strange now, but that's okay. We accept it, you know. We accept our uniqueness. But I would say it was a pretty happy childhood for the most part. I got along well with my siblings most of the time. Definitely had my share of struggles, especially with Amy, my younger one. But, you know, we're all good now. We're all adults. We have a good relationship. Definitely had some, I think, struggles like everyone has with parents having marital discord or fights. So that definitely impacted things. But I think a lot of us kind of go through that as well. I was introduced to Christianity or Christ in elementary school. I was homeschooled, and there was a curriculum there where they actually had a guided prompt to accept Christ. So I accepted Christ. I believe I was between the ages of 7 and 10. I don't actually remember the specific day. But I kind of think of it like kind of receiving it with joy initially and like being like, oh, I'm really excited about this. You know, my parents were really wonderful in the sense that they you know, tried to establish us going to church and doing family devotions and things. And so I kind of grew up getting exposure to that. So I would say that was kind of my start. But I would say that over the years, the primary struggle was with feeling like assured of salvation. So I would remember as a young child, like after that point, like praying over and over to the Lord, like, is this real? Like, am I really like yours? So that was a pretty, I'd say, pretty significant struggle as a young child, was just feeling that assurance of salvation. I would say in those early years starting out, I very much equated in my mind like being a Christian with being a good person. So it was very like tied to morals and rules, which, you know, as a believer, that's a fruit of being with the Lord, is that your behavior changes and that your character is different. But to me, it felt like, I think those beginning stages, it was very much like, oh man, I have to like be a good person and I have to muster all these things. And so I think that was a big shift. It was not very grace-based at all. And so that really colored my experience initially. And I think, you know, part of it too was the family I grew up in, which a lot of these values I am still very thankful for, but we were always taught that like we should achieve and like be better and do better. And so I think those two things together kind of really started me off with like, man, I have to really try to do everything right. I have to really try to not disappoint God or not disappoint my family and disappoint, you know. And so kind of started me off on that. Also, during this time in, I believe it was like late middle school, I was exposed to pornography. So that was a struggle that I had started with at that age and kind of continued on into probably early high school, mid high school. And so that was another source of shame, I feel like, for me, because I think sexual sin in particular is something that it really goes to the core of who we are, because I think as the Lord created it, it's a very sacred thing. So I think when that gets perverted, it really impacts your identity. And so I think those two things together, like struggling with that, like, oh, I have to be a good person, while also having this big internal struggle of like, wow, I'm like really bad and I don't know how to like fix this. That kind of colored a lot of going from like middle childhood, junior high into high school. So kind of going into that, I'm gonna go here. So, on the very left, that was me in seventh grade. And then that was probably around high school time. But continually kind of in that time of life, there were good things that happened. I really appreciated being with my sisters and stuff. Like that was a really good experience. I continued to grow and, just like go through the normal things. I was like involved with youth group. Like I had begun to develop some friendships. But like also during that time, I feel like adolescence, like that was a really like rough time for me, I would say, overall, because I think it was almost this dichotomy of like, I should be really happy. I should be like perfect all the time. But inside I was like, I'm struggling. I feel like off all the time. I feel like the Lord is displeased with me. And so I think during that phase of life, it really kind of kept me from really trying to pursue intimacy with the Lord, because I felt like, how could the Lord like love me? Because I'm struggling with all these things. I'm struggling with pornography. I'm struggling with just like feeling like I'm adequate in relationships, I would say. Because especially during that time, like going into high school, like I was very, very fearful of other people, I would say. Like I didn't really pursue a lot of relationships because I think the base of my identity was very shaky. Like I was always feeling like I was trying to make myself feel better, but like at the root of myself, I always felt very, very inadequate. And so I think that kind of hindered me from pursuing relationships with other people, because it's always like that little voice in the back of your head being like, well, that person doesn't really want to spend time with you. Or that person, if they really knew you, they wouldn't really like you anyway. And so it was a lot of that, like, oppressive voices, both from like myself and like, and you know, I'm probably Satan, most definitely. Because I think, like I had mentioned before, my parents had instilled in me, like, you should, like, seek to be successful, which is really good. Like, I think that helped me to want to be a hard worker from a young age. But I think I began to take that on myself of, like, I have to work hard. I have to, like, I have to do everything to try to be perfect. But, like, I didn't know the right means to do it, because my thought process was just like, white knuckle it, just work harder, and that's how you're gonna be successful. Because that's very much like, I think that's very much like the disposition of my parents, kind of how they achieved a lot of things. And so I think they instilled that in us. But when you combine that with kind of a very like legalistic mindset towards Christianity, it's very, very oppressive, I would say. So I struggled with intense social anxiety, fear of man. And this was one thing that later on I read about in a book called When People Are Big and God Is Small. So if you struggle with fear of man at all or people pleasing, like that was one of my favorite books. And I still go back to it multiple times. But one of the things they talk about is that low self-esteem can be really tied to like a thwarted pride, which I really felt like I really related to it of like, I should be better than I am, or I should feel better than I do. And so I think that continued on for like many years of just like, I should feel better, I should do better, but it wasn't there, right? So I had those significant imposed pressures to be prettier, smarter, thinner, nicer, but of course I always failed to meet those self-imposed standards because I didn't really have a deep relationship with Christ. My dad is a really wonderful man, and I really respect him for like all the values he instilled in me. One of the things, though, with my parents in general, and I think, you know, this is part of just how they grew up, too, and, you know, we just hope that each generation is progressively more healthy, but the way they both grew up, they didn't grow up in super emotionally open households, and so when it came to us kids, I think each of us kind of had our own struggles with how to manage our emotions. Like, I think a lot of us kind of had that bottleneck attitude where it was like, we were quiet, and then we kind of blew up, for lack of a better term. And so I think that was something that I then applied to my relationship with the Lord, because I was like, my natural father, like, is disappointed in me when I don't get good grades or when I act out or when I'm not behaving how they want me to behave. So I kind of externalize that to that must be how like the Lord sees me, and he must be disappointed in me. Like he must just be looking at all of the things that I'm doing wrong and being like, you know, Jane, like I would love you more if you didn't do that, you know, that kind of attitude. So yeah. And then during that time, I definitely spiraled deeper into social isolation. Yeah. I was definitely ruled by people's perceived acceptance or rejection of me. And that's, I think, especially into late part of junior high into early high school was when I really started to struggle very heavily with depression, anxiety, suicidal ideation, and attempts later on in high school. But yeah, so it got pretty dark for a while, but that's not where we're going to stay. But just to try to paint you a picture. All right, so I kind of broadly labeled this like identity formation because I think, you know, going in from that high school to early college, those were some of, I think, the most formative years for me. Some of you probably know this already, but Deanne and I went to a school called Dominion. That's it's a very good school, academically very, very rigorous. And so I think the pressures that I had combined with the workload, it really kind of put me in a challenging spot because it didn't do a lot for like my mental health. And of course, then I had no concept of like, you should have work-life balance, right? Or you should you should do things that are just for fun. There's other parts of your life outside of academics. And during that time, I really struggled with like that perfectionistic mindset. And so that led me in, combined with like my mental health struggles, that led me into a lot of different things with like just like cheating and academic dishonesty. Because at the time, I don't know if they still do this, but they had take-home tests, and she's like, I know this. And so because I had felt so much pressure to like have good grades and do these things, that was something I struggled with during the time. And overall, mental health, physical health, everything was kind of really bad at this time. But I'd say a big turning point was I was about a sophomore in high school, but my grandmother, she actually passed away in 2012. And one of her last things that she told me, I don't remember the exact words, but the spirit of it was something like she really encouraged us to like live a full life. Well, that was the kind of the thing I got. And so with her death, I think the Lord really used that as a catalyst for me to begin to examine like those big existential questions of like, who am I? Who is God? Like, am I a Christian? Like, what is the purpose of life? Like some of those really like heavy questions. And so I think the Lord really used that to turn a lot of things around because around that, maybe a little bit before that, into that time, I actually told my parents about my struggles with pornography. And then I told them about the cheating and those kind of things. And so they agreed to be, to like help supervise me more and give me more accountability. And so I'm really thankful for them for that and just receiving me with a level of grace that I didn't know if I would be received with. But for many years after that, I kind of struggled with this obsessiveness, kind of like swinging the other way of like, now I'm like, I got to be like super sure. And so I was pretty like obsessive for a while, like especially about like academics and like just trying to safeguard myself from those things because I had struggled for so many years. And so in some ways was good, I guess, in the sense that it gave me a better awareness. It gave me a sense of like, okay, I'm keeping an eye on these things. But that was also kind of an oppressive mindset too, because also not very, very grace-based, kind of swinging both ways, you know, licentiousness versus legalism. So still kind of really riding that pendulum, I would say. But I would say also at the time I was at DA, there's a Bible survey class. Probably some of you may know Father Wayne. But the Lord like really used that, like, because you just saw people and situations where like the Bible was really rich, I would say was my first exposure. Because like growing up, like Sunday school, studying the scriptures, it was very like, here's the moral lesson, which it's like, it's a good part of the scriptures, obviously, is teaching us how to live and how to live right. But I never got that, like, yeah, I don't know exactly how to say it other than, like, the richness of, like, that these were real people with real struggles, that the Lord really worked in their lives, the Lord really intervened. And I think just learning about the fact, like, that there are covenants in the Bible, that there's liturgy, like, digging into the Psalms, like, it kind of was that first exposure, or not first exposure, but I would say like kind of meaningful exposure to the fact of like, wow, like the scriptures can be very deep and you can study them and you can mine them. And so that kind of began my desire to like learn more about what being a Christian meant and trying to seek out those opportunities to study the word and really make the faith my own. Because I would very much say from the early years when I first accepted Christ, up until really like probably sophomore, junior year of high school, I really struggled with, like, is this faith my own? And with my grandmother's death and those other circumstances, I think the Lord really used those things to kind of push me forward to be like, you know, I wouldn't have said these words at the time, but it's like push me forward to be like, come and like learn from me, come and like, come and see like who I am, essentially. So yeah, that was a big, big shift. Piggybacking off of that, the end of my time when I graduated high school, I really wanted to find a place to like serve kind of, and I wanted to kind of get myself out of my bubble a little bit. And so my sister Esther, she actually suggested that I volunteer at, it was Miami Valley Women's Center at the time. It's Hope Rising now. Because I had a desire to like work, especially like with struggling women and families and stuff. And so originally I was going to volunteer at the center as a client advocate, which they still have now, but it's basically just volunteers and other people that talk with women about their different options when they find themselves in an unexpected pregnancy situation. And so I wanted to do that. I wanted to like try and serve, you know. I would say it wasn't fully formed at the time, but I think it was kind of, the Lord was kind of growing that desire in me to actually be a real Christian, which like sounds funny. I wouldn't have used the words. I mean, the Lord, when he's very gracious, he wouldn't use those words either, but you know, like actually trying to like live like a Christian. And so I actually interviewed at the center and they were talking to me. I was about 18 at the time and they were talking to me. They were like, you know, if you're going to Wright State, like we have this really great group at Wright State. And so I was like, oh, okay. Like I didn't really know anything. I was like, sure, I'll try it out. And so there was a campus group called Equip for Life that many of the folks in this church have poured into and really invested in. So really sweet ministry and time. But that's actually how I first got introduced to RCF and GCF, because I came and did a presentation, I believe, at the campus group, just talking about Equip for Life, what we did. And and honestly, that was like one of the biggest shifts, because you saw a lot of young people that wanted to study the word and that were like on fire for the Lord. And, you know, many of us know and love Greg. I had never met like a pastor or anyone really that was willing to like invest so much time in like getting to know my story and like just pouring into me. This is kind of out of order, but I'll share this in just a moment. Let me finish this thought, because I know my squirrel brain, if I do this first, I'm going to be like, what am I talking about now? The Lord really, I think, brought me into that space. It was by God's grace and like just being exposed to people that really loved the Lord. That changed so many things for me. And I'll share a little bit more about some of those major things that happened in my walk with Christ that, you know, were really impactful. But I did want to share this quote with you. So have you guys heard, or I'm sure others have read, have you guys read the book Love is a Choice or No? Yeah, that was a book that was recommended probably by many people here. I'm not sure. I mean, Greg, I know for sure, but probably other people as well. But I wanted to share this quote because I thought it really encapsulated a lot of my struggles for many years, just so you could kind of see the contrast. You got to know the bad to know the good, right? So I'll read that for you guys. Deep down inside, such persons feel bad about themselves emotionally, and over we see them put themselves into a relationship with God in which they feel they must win his approval through legalism, perfectionism, self-sacrifice, self-abuse, whatever mechanism they feel will best prove to God their worthiness, even as they doubt that worthiness in their own hearts. So yeah, I wanted to share that with you guys because I thought in a succinct way, it kind of captured my mindset for many years. Was like, I'm going to approach the Lord in my own strength. But then of course, when that fails, now I feel ashamed. I feel more distant from God than when I started. And then I wanted to share this verse as well, because I think this also kind of demonstrated also that really intense struggle with fear of man that has gotten way better. Like I still definitely struggle, but like, yeah. So much freedom from that initial time, I'll say. They exchanged the truth, Romans 1:25, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator who is forever praised. So yeah, I wanted to share that with you because very much in that time, like, I was ruled by people. I was like, I was so afraid of both, like, being in a positive relationship as well as being rejected. Like, that kind of was my, like, that was my every, like, thought. And I didn't realize really till later, like, that's an idol, you know? Like, I was worshiping other people, and I was saying that what other people had to say about me was more important and worth more than what the Lord had to say, which is obviously very sinful and not good. I kind of mentioned this a little bit before I shared the quote, but I just kind of bullet pointed some of the really big things that kind of turned the tide for me in a lot of ways with my faith and in my journey with the Lord. So yeah, like RCF, GCF, like coming into community with other believers, studying the word, like growing through relationship and like being with people that really wanted to like actually like pursue those deep relationships and study the things of the Lord. I did different studies, namely, I think the one that I'm thinking of is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I think I did that with Greg and Deanna, probably. Did I? Maybe? I don't know. I don't remember, but yeah, it was a long time ago now. But but that was very impactful because the way I grew up, I was never taught against the things of the Spirit, but I was never really taught like that the gifts were like for today. I wasn't taught that it was wrong, but I just had no education on it or teaching on it one way or the other. And so kind of learning about that and the richness of that, that was very life-giving, and being baptized and getting a prayer language, like that really opened a lot of things like up in me, I would say. Because I would say very much from young childhood up until, yeah, like early 20s especially, I felt very like emotionally, like emotions were kind of shut off. Like I felt like I had stuffed them all. And I forget where I learned this, but someone had talked about like your spirit is kind of like a well. And sometimes like if something's closed up, it kind of closes up everything. And so for me, I feel like being baptized in the Holy Spirit, going through deliverance and sozo, which is like another inner healing type of thing, like it almost felt like like something that was stuck had been broken loose. And now like my emotions could flow. And so that was a really... Yeah, it was a really different but like life-giving experience. It was very freeing to be like, I can actually like experience emotions and we can like do it in like a healthy way. I did want to share like one verse with you guys that I actually received during my deliverance, but it's from Song of Solomon. It says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that spoil the vineyards, for our vineyards are in blossom. And I wanted to share that with you guys because some of the big things that were shared with me during that time were a focus to be happy and to be healthy, which sounds kind of like, you know, like me at the time where I'm like, that's just some like new age stuff. Like, I just need to like push harder. But it was really so true. Like, the Lord desires and loves to make you whole. And so I wanted to share that with you guys because that was a really, really, really big shift. Yeah, that just changes your whole perspective and your whole life. So I did want to kind of talk about in the aftermath of those things. So some of the big things that the Lord has done for me is just granting so much freedom from the sexual sins of pornography, masturbation, freedom from depression and self-harm. Yes, I'm a self-harm suicide survivor, which I'm sure some of you guys are as well, and a desire to really connect with others. Because like I said before, like, you wouldn't have caught me like talking to a stranger ever, like ever. That was probably like literally the worst thing you could tell me is like, go talk to that person. I'd be like, I'm not going to do it. But now I really have a strong desire, and I love to connect with people. I love to talk to people and just build relationship. And that's a testament to the Lord, because That was not me in my natural self. I was not an extrovert, but I'd say by God's grace now, I'm kind of an extrovert, which is crazy. And then I would say other big things is different fruits of the Spirit, which two that I feel are very like salient for me are the fruits of joy and peace. Because before, like very much a very anxious person, very much like a very fearful person. So now to be in this space where, yeah, the Lord just grants peace. Like I'm still struggling with that. I still have to go to the Lord a lot daily, you know, to ask for help with those things. But just the general disposition moving from like anxiety to peace. And I would say moving from like just kind of a heaviness to having joy, like even in really tough circumstances, like having the knowledge that the Lord is our hope and that he will be with you no matter what you walk through. And that is your hope no matter what happens. And that gives you joy. Because I think joy is it's different than happiness, because you can still have joy even when your circumstances aren't very happy. And so, yeah, I hope that's something that can be an encouragement to you guys as well. Because, yeah, it was definitely not a part of my life like in the way that it is now before Christ. Like Christ is my joy and he's granted me joy. I also wanted to share this quote with you guys from A.W. Tozer, but it goes, how completely satisfying to turn from our limitations to a God who has none. He's a God without limits and he loves to pour out his love on all of us. And yeah, praise God for that. So I wanted to kind of follow through and talk. So I shared that quote with you before about from love is a choice, kind of about fear of man. But I also wanted to share this other quote with you that kind of reframed my perspective and I think really encapsulates what the Lord has done to transform my thoughts, especially surrounding like relationships and being around other people, because that was a big idol in my life for so long. But it's from, he's a pastor, I believe, from Pepperell Christian Fellowship. It was an article from Desiring God. So if you're interested, I can send you the link from it, but I just wanted to source it because it was actually written in my journal. So I had to like do a Google search to be like, where's this quote from? I don't even remember, but I want to make sure I quote the right source. So I'm not just saying things, but I'll go ahead and read it for you guys. But the less we need others, whether it is securing their praise or avoiding their censure, the more and better we will serve them. Rather than expecting or fearing something from them, we look to the Lord Jesus, who always keeps his promises and who already accepts us as his own. So I hope that's encouraging for you guys too, of just like, the Lord really, really loves you. And you don't have to fear other people. You don't have to be nervous about other people, because even if someone doesn't like you or they're mean to you, you know, you're like, this is another opportunity for the Lord to teach me to be more gracious, or teach me to be, you know, it'll shape our character in God-honoring ways. And praise God for that, because, yeah, I need that. I need that. I need that daily sanctification. In closing, I did want to share this psalm with you. Because I'm sure like many of you guys, when I was trying to prepare for this, I was like, man, there's so many good scriptures. There's so many good things I could share. But I wanted to just kind of hit some highlights and share with you guys things that I hope will be encouraging to you as well, that the Lord can use to speak with you as well. But I wanted to share this portion from Psalm 34, because I feel like it really encapsulates a lot of just how the Lord has been so gracious to me, has been so loving to me. Sometimes I look back, I'm like, wow, there were points I really like couldn't, like, you know, there are probably points like without the Lord, yeah, I'm like, I wouldn't have survived. I wouldn't have made it to be standing before you today. And so I'm very thankful and so grateful to the Lord and for you guys and for this community and everything. So I'm gonna go ahead and read this. Psalm 34, verses 4 through 10. I sought the Lord and he answered me, and he delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. I've also heard it said, lack no good thing, which I also really love. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. All right. Thank you, guys. are there any questions, comments, concerns, anything? Yeah. Concerns? Like, wow, Jane, you really messed up, which is fine. It's fair. I mean, yeah, what's up? Oh, sure. Yeah, I was kind of like, I don't know what all I can share. Yeah, I would say, I can share a little bit about that. So I would say probably from the time I was about 21 to I'm 29 now, so 8 years. Well, that's crazy. I'm getting old. But anyway, that's that's either here nor there. But I did say that was the time I really started to, like, I desired relationship. I was like, wow, I'd really like to, like, get married one day and all these things. And so probably around that time, on and off till this age, I had, like, tried different things. Like, I tried online dating on and off. I tried to meet people in person. But I would say overwhelmingly, like, it never worked out, right? And I think part of it, really had to do with my perspective in those early years. Like, similarly to how I had made an idol of, like, wanting other people to accept me, that definitely was also in my pursuit of romantic relationships. I had made an idol out of wanting to be in a relationship and of wanting to be married. And so every single time something didn't work out, it was like this, it was like that pit in your stomach where you're like, oh my gosh, like, this is just another, it's just another situation that has not worked out. And I think it also, like, caused you to, like, question, like, oh, like, you see all these other people around you, like, get, like, pursuing these things, like getting married, having, like, you know, being in these situations, and then you start to, like, question yourself and kind of question the Lord. And so I think probably, like, from the time of, I'd say, especially 22 to 26, that was, like, a very persistent struggle. And every time something didn't work out, it was kind of confirmation again, like, something's wrong, like, you know, this is just not going to happen for me. But I would say the Lord was really gracious. I'd say really within the last 2 years, I would say, he was really gracious to kind of just speak into me through other people, through his word, through his Holy Spirit, that, like, it's like, Jane, I have you. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to worry about, like, being married and, like, having children. That's a wonderful gift. But it's like your security, your purpose, your fruitfulness, that's going to be tied to the fact that you're tied to me. It's not going to be circumstantial. And so the Lord was so good to just, like, free me of that persistent, like, anxiety and, like, kind of, like, really idolatrous mindset of, like, I have to have this to be fruitful. I have to have this to be happy. And so I had kind of come to the place where it's like, you know, Lord, even if I don't get married, like, I'm going to have such a good life because I have you. And, like, that's, like, all I need. And so I think, yes, that was another, that's another, yeah, big testament of just, like, how the Lord was so good. Yeah, I'm engaged now to, like, which is, yeah, which a lot of you guys know, but to someone that, yeah, is very much, like, more than I could have prayed for, asked for. And, like, I tell him all the time, I'm like, this is years of other people praying and me praying. So just know that this is the years of many prayers. So, yeah. Yeah. But, yeah. So, yeah. Yeah. It's good stuff. Yeah. Any other questions or concerns or comments? John Luke?
Yeah, you mentioned that you were with a group that helped you with your thoughts of
depression and suicide. Yeah, it was kind of multiple people. So I talked to a lot of people in church, probably like Deanna, Greg, like some other, like Teresa, some other ladies. So I received, I'd say, like a, from like a pastoral side, those kind of things. But I also got counseling at Clear Creek Chapel for a while. And then I also more recently just went to a regular counselor, but she's like a Christian, and that was very helpful. So I would say, Like, help comes in multiple ways and from multiple voices. So just, like, seek the Lord, but don't be, just don't be afraid to, like, use your resources, because I think the Lord really uses multiple things to reveal himself to you. So, I would say, like, don't be afraid or don't feel, like, any type of shame or any type of way, because I do feel like sometimes, like, in Christian circles, there's that idea of, like, well, if you were really spiritual, like, you don't need to go to therapy. Like, you should just, like, you shouldn't be depressed. Like, I mean, like, we have the Lord, which is true. We have the Lord. But, like, to tell someone that is in the pits of, like, depression or anxiety or in the pits of a struggle, to tell them, like, oh, just pray about it more, like, is really unloving, in my opinion. So, I would just say, like, use your resources. Like, obviously do your homework about, like, what type of, like, you know, what type of, like, person they are, like, what type of place it is, but I would say, like, really use your resources. Like, books are great, talking to trusted, like, friends and mentors, therapists, like, I think all of it is great, and of course, like, coming to the Lord, times of worship, Holy Spirit, like, can't beat that, so, yeah, very good, yeah, anything else? Oh, I love you guys. Thank you for allowing me this time to share with you guys. And yeah, of course, if you have any like questions or you want to talk about anything specifically, I'd be happy to share anything. I'm very open with a lot of things and be happy to share. So thank you guys for your time and your attention. And we'll pray and close this out if that's okay. All right. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you. We thank you that you have made us new creations, Lord, and that our past is not our present or future, Lord, that you turn our mourning into dancing, Lord, and that you are the lifter of our heads, Lord. I pray that for all gathered here today and for those who are not gathered here today, that you would just encourage them and reaffirm in their hearts and their spirits once again how much they are loved, how much they are seen, and how much you delight in each and every one of them. And I pray that they would just be encouraged and strengthened by you and by your Holy Spirit, God. I thank you for what you've done in my life and in the lives of all of these gathered here today. And I just pray that your spirit would continue to be with us as we hear from your word and we go into worship, Lord. And we thank you for loving us and for being such a good father. And we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.